Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 15 and 16 of Lord of Chaos, A Pile of Sand, and Tellings of the Wheel. Enjoy! Welcome, everyone, to The Wheel Reads. Back again for the first time. It seems like forever, guys.
For the first time, and all the times.
Yeah. I am live from a closet in the Shenandoah Valley somewhere because I'm on vacation and decided to not stop drinking, but break away from my drinking buddies to come hang out with you guys.
Ooh, hey. Awesome. All right. Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's been fun. Yeah, we took all
the haircut. Looks good.
Oh, thank you. I just shaved it. That's not really that crazy of a haircut, but thanks.
Yeah, really fancy. I like it.
Yeah,
style.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's been fun. I'll get into personal lives, but before we get into anything else, I do want to announce we have two new ones since 2 weeks ago. We have Jonathan Reese and Synchro. I think. Or is it Synchro? One of the two. Thank you so much, guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. First one to start by apologizing for last week. I was deadly sick. I'm still getting over it. Like, I still have like some chest congestion. It's just been kind of going on. It's a lot better than it was, but boy.
Has anybody named this thing yet? Because I don't know about your social group, Alan, but everybody I know has gotten this.
Yeah.
It's like 5.0. So I didn't get any fever with it. But I got a massive headache, and then I got like 3 days of the nastiest chest congestion, but then it still lingers. Like, I'm on a week and a half. Like, I still have a couple coughing fits a day where all sorts of nastiness comes.
Yeah. Out. I went to a doc in a box and they took a culture and they're like, nope, no flu, no COVID, no nothing.
Right.
They're like,
same.
I was like, you have nothing. I was like, I had 102 temperature last night and
I
feel like I'm dying. And they're like, yeah, you don't have anything. I was like, no, I have something. Like,
there's something like, in there. So when I got it, I went to CVS to get like Mucinex or something, and all the Mucinex type drugs, Dayquil, NyQuil, everything was empty.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in there. So this junk is, we should call it something.
Chanel has it right now.
I was going to go with something Stranger Things, because when I get a coughing fit and then hack it up, it looks like one of those baby Demodogs that Will had.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. So it's maybe we'll call it a Demodog, the Demodog.
Demodog pox. Demodog pox.
Demodog pox, something like that.
So monkey pox. We'll just call it Demodog pox.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry you are going through that, because I'm on the tail end and it sucks.
Yeah. So no, it's I feel fine. It's just I had that lingering cough. And if I laugh too much, I'll start coughing again. But other than that, I'm good. So I might have coughing fits and I'll try to pause it, but I am literally in a closet. So I am like tight in space. So,
Alan, come out of the closet. Come on. Everybody knows.
Okay. So
step out.
We so love guys, you.
I stuck my popsicle.
As far as giveaways, there was one I was supposed to announce yesterday, but like I said, I'm on vacation, so I didn't do it yet. But there are giveaways going on right now. So eventually I'll get my new shit together. Like I said, I'm going to cough my lung when I start making jokes. But yeah, so I will announce some giveaways soon. Like I said, I'm on vacation, so I'm not on the computer nearly as much right now and not doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. But that's okay. We'll catch up. We'll get back there. I'll be back from vacation one day. Although I never want to leave here. This place is awesome. So I'll jump right into personal life.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so my son and goes to preschool, and two of the kids in his preschool class, they're the same age, of course. They're two families that have like three or two kids each, all the same ages as our kids. So like there's eight kids total here.
And six
adults. Eight kids between the ages of 5 months to 4 years old. So it's
God bless you.
It's a very compact group. But we've known all these people before we all had kids too. So we just became closer friends once we all had kids, because obviously now all the kids hang out. So we decided to do like a friend family vacation first time. And we just got to go to the beach. We said, you know, beach is kind of overdone. And plus, we're like, we already going to the beach multiple times this year.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's go to the mountains. So we started looking up Airbnbs. We found this place in Woodstock, Virginia, which is on in the northern fork of the Shenandoah River, in the Shenandoah Valley. So it's on the river. There's kayaks you can take out and go kayaking down the river. The house provides. It has a pool table, ping pong table, foosball, PlayStations, Xboxes, TVs in every single room. Like 10 bedrooms.
Alan's in heaven.
And then the other families, they brought a trailer and they brought like all the power wheels for the kids. So like everybody has their own like Jeep power wheel, like, and they all souped them up with like golf cart batteries. So they go like go-karts. So these kids are like flying around everywhere, like 4-year-olds on power wheels. And it's just, it's utter chaos. And we brought bounce houses and we're in the middle of nowhere, like literally fields and woods and nothing, but just middle of nowhere. And there's a winery next door. When I say next door, it's about a half a mile away. But
your only neighbor is a winery.
Yes.
That's a rough life.
So it's hard. It's hard being out here. I was like, do we have to leave? Do we have to? But yeah, it's a fun time. We've been having a good time out here, and the kids are having a blast. And we're having a blast too, because we're just kind of drinking and watching the kids. Pretty cool.
Only about a half an hour from Luray Caverns from that area.
Yeah, we're right there. So
that's pretty cool.
So fun times.
I've got a question. So you said you've known these people, so this might be irrelevant, but do you find like when you get in that social vacation mode, relaxing kind of around new people, that you discover that there's something wrong with maybe our group of friends and how we came up and the amount that we drink and still drink? Like sometimes I'm around new people and I'm on drink 4 and they're like, maybe I'll start today. And I'm like, oh, we haven't started.
Oh, they're all drinkers. So it's fine.
So it's not, this isn't what, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He brought one of the guys bought a handle of Tito's, you know, and the fridge is stocked with beer and
Good. Yeah. It might sound like an odd question, but I've gone on a vacation not that long ago with people I haven't been out with before. And it was just, I felt the whole time I was like, God, I really want to drink, but nobody else is.
Yeah, I mean, we're not like drinking like super heavy, but like we're drinking all day long, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's summertime. You got to pace yourself in the heat.
Yeah. So we're not like chugging. We just have a drink in hand of us all day long. It's just, you know, like a White Claw or a light beer, just kind of
slowly sipping on it. I can appreciate that. All right.
Yeah. So fun times. So what's going on in you guys' world?
As you can see this week, I'm in the barracks and I am loving that.
How did you end up back in the barracks?
Well, I mean, my the leave I
it's
put
a
in
car.
For yeah, the leave I put in for doesn't start till next week. Okay. But I took 3 weeks of leave. I got notified today it was approved. Of course, they waited till like literally the week before. So, but at least they approved it and not on the last day. Mm-hmm. I get my steroid injection right in the spine on Friday. And then I'm off for 3 weeks. Hopefully that helps them. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
It's crazy that you have to take off from recovering.
Look, man.
I'm still, my mind is still boggled by that very thought.
There's so much about this process that, and there's all these people that work here. So you think there'd be these experts to tell me exactly what my options are, right? But once they're like, well, there's not much we could do for you here now, recovery wise, so we're gonna send you back home. I was like, well, I thought like the med board and was an option where you get medically discharged. And I didn't want to do that. I kind of wanted to get better, but I'm asking about that because as it is right now, I don't think I could go back to my current job doing the 4-hour work week. You know, I mentioned that before. I get a couple hours of activity during the day and I'm done. Like I got to be laid out the rest of the day. Anyways, so they were like, well, they can't do the med board thing here for whatever reason. I have to go back to my unit and then they can decide to do it. So being in the reserves, it took me forever to get a phone number of somebody back in my unit that actually knows anything about this process. Mm-hmm. And I finally found out today, this is after like a week's worth of emails and phone calls, find out today that, anybody out there in the military, you'll know this, you have a pushes, something like that on your profile. Mm-hmm. And it's a number system. So I'm still straight ones and they have my injury right now just as a temporary thing. So I'm like a 90-day temporary dead man profile. Can't do anything. Can't walk too long. Can't stand too long. Can't sit too long. Nothing. But they haven't done anything to change like my permanent physical profile. And without that being changed to at least a 3, I can't get med boarded. So then I'm talking to the doctor here. I'm like, okay, I've been broke since November. Y'all say you can't fix me. Doesn't that change one of those numbers somehow? And she's like, I don't know. That's a whole nother process. We got to get some more doctors to look at you. I'm like, well, why the fuck haven't we been doing that? I've been sitting around since March. Why haven't we been doing that? If you knew you couldn't fix me, then isn't the next step to be like, okay, let's put ink to paper and say he's broken. And that way he can, you know, go through the process he needs to go through. So
do you still have to do formation in the morning?
Yes. Even so, that's what kills me. Everybody that, and I'm not the only one that has these dead man profiles, like, and it's like the worst. I'm not supposed to stand for more than 10 minutes in formation. And they say formation is going to be quick. It'll be done in 10 minutes, but we're there for 15 to 20 minutes at least if it goes fast any given day. But that's the one thing they don't wait. You got to go to formation. And in the morning when I'm hurting the most, like anything overhead kind of sucks. But in the morning when I haven't had a chance to do my stretching yet, like the ability to reach up and even salute when the flag goes off, that shit hurts. So I'm like hunched over sideways, like massaging my right buttock with my left hand and saluting the flag in the morning. It's so patriotic.
This is how I picture your formation, right? I just wanted an excuse to use that.
So go ahead and cut to the scene where it's a pile of dead bodies. Hit a wall, and then they just fall over. That's my formation. I'm the guy like stuffed in the middle of the wall, just like.
I added that little video for our Wad of Fortune. So when like someone gets a really really big win, we play the Spartan cheer. But I just wanted to test it out on our actual podcast. So.
I'm flattered, Alan, but not even close. Or like, who's the disfigured guy?
Oh,
that's like trying to get him to take the deal. Yeah,
this is part of the actual story.
He was. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's me.
Anyway,
lift your shield.
Pretty much. Awesome.
Meanwhile, your profile is straight ones. You are fit to fight, but it hurts.
Sounds about right.
A falsies? Is that right?
Something so, you could say it and I'd probably not even recognize it.
So Chris, how's Wedding Watch 2022 going?
Oh my gosh. Hey, look, we're 81 days as of today out from it. And so
but who's counting? I mean, well, obviously. That guy.
This guy.
That guy.
Well, it's officially on my calendar, so Meredith and I are also counting. We're excited.
I still need an RSVP.
I'm coming.
Yeah, do that online.
It's coming. Yeah.
I definitely laid the hammer down with the wedding planners, and I have never received so many emails and phone calls and text messages. I'm like, I'm looking over the contract, and I don't think we're anywhere near where you're supposed to be. I've been doing a lot of work. I've documented all my work. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, Mr. Pennington, hey, Chris, let's get on the ball. Let's do this, let's do that. Let's schedule your next 7 appointments just outright. We're going to meet bi-weekly. We got this, and this going on. I'm like, oh, so now.
We want to get paid.
I see how it is. Cool. So needless to say, we are definitely jumped head first. We are really getting the fine tuning done. On top of that, I had a wedding in Virginia this past weekend. So like I told you guys before, I traveled to Virginia this past weekend to be in a family friend's wedding. I was the only groomsman that was not a family member, which was really cool. That's how tight we've been. Yeah, I've known them since like Deer Park days, like elementary school. And so we grew up in the same neighborhood. And, you know, when you live in public housing, everybody around you is like a family member. So it was neat to be a part of that. And then just to get back here. And, you know, we're going through it at work, trying to place students when we don't have the space. But, you know, we're making stuff happen. That's it. Oh, our kitty was born.
Yay.
So right now there are literally 19 kittens that we get to choose from. And then we get to nix half of them because they're boys and we're getting a girl. And then we're nixing another quarter because we want a kitten from one of three mothers because we really like these moms. And then there's one in particular who we get to visit the kitten on Saturday. So we may be picking our kitten this coming weekend.
Please post pictures in Discord.
Yes, I'll pull up the pictures that she has right now and put them in Discord.
Awesome.
In the room that we're staying in this house, there is like a wall-sized painting of a cat. that stares at you when you wake up in the morning.
That might be her place.
It's the privacy room.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just like you wake up in the morning, there's a cat just staring at you. Like it's a giant mural of a cat. So you know. I would go show you, but I have to remove my whole computer. And yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, I like cats, but I don't think I'll ever have a cat mural.
I'm not a cat person, but you know, I'm good.
You are now.
Yeah. I am going to be at this point.
Chris would be like, I didn't really want the cat. Fast forward 3 months. He's got the cat in a little carrier. Like,
I don't think, you know, I want Katie to say that. I like to think that I'll never be that person, but
I just do it.
Well, you had, everywhere. We had a sailing coach growing up who was the most brilliant man in the entire world. And he was just an asshole. And Dan Winters, rest in peace. He was recommended. He had cancer. He actually ended up fighting the cancer off. He didn't die from it. And his doctor recommended he get a pet. And he said, you know, he never wanted something like that because he can't stand pets. And he got a cat. Mm-hmm. And he became a cat person.
Turns out he loved all of them.
He loved all of them. In fact, he went as far to actually open up his own cat colony for feral cats.
Oh,
and
wow.
And go feed them every single day and then take the pick of the litter from there to adopt. So he'd always just pick it out of the feral cat colony. So people would actually bring cats to him that were feral to put into the cat colony, and he would keep all the feral cats safe and like became like a crazy cat guy. But yeah.
Where should I post this picture, by the way? There's so many
fur babies. There's a fur baby channel on our Discord.
Yeah, fur babies. It's under Trollocs Cookpot.
Yeah, under that section. The for fun section. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyway, yeah. So good old Dan. And Dan became a more likable person after the cats.
Yeah, he still let him out.
He still hated people, but he liked cats.
Yeah, but I liked the way he hated people. It was entertaining for me. Even when he was hating me, I'm like, oh, that was such a good dig. I didn't even understand it. That word was so big and eloquent. I got to go look up how you insulted me.
And also, I do apologize to everybody watching this live. I do look like I have stripes in here. I don't know what it is. It's on me, too. I didn't bring lighting with me, so I'm just using fluorescent light in the closet. So it's I'm Tiger Allen.
Tiger Allen. It's a throwback to the beginning of our show days when Tiger King was.
Yeah, somebody was wearing a Tiger King shirt today. Apparently, he's got a lot of issues going on as of late.
Oh yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I haven't really kept up with the whole Tiger King thing.
I was having an early conversation the other day about early COVID days. And I was like, you know what really saved me in the beginning of COVID? And they were like, oh my gosh, me too, Tiger King and da 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 da. And I was like, no, my podcast. Who looks back to the beginning of COVID and go, well, one for Tiger King?
Or, I never would have made it.
Wouldn't have made it. Okay.
Anyways, you guys ready to go into this chapter?
I'm looking at fur babies to see what he's got on there. Okay. Oh my goodness, it's so up there. Cute. Oh, I love the coloring. Are you kidding me?
Okay, take a brief pause for looking at baby cat babies.
Sorry, they're the cute bangles. So I'm posting all the tubbies.
All the pencils.
I think Coco is going to be the one, but she just posted some new pics, so.
In case you guys aren't on our Discord, you can go join that now. Just go to thewillreads.com, and there's links there to join our Discord server. And you can see pictures of kittens, apparently.
Wait, which one do you like?
So the very first one is Coco. Coco and Goldie are kind of the two we're leaning towards. But the last grouping.
I like Bambi.
Yeah, I was about to say Bambi is another one. These are brand new pictures. They just got posted today. So...
Okay,
Bambi's cool. In the running too, cover as well. Cool.
Oh,
and so is Misty.
Got lighting. Okay, cool. There's lighting. I mean, this past lighting.
There you go. Hey, welcome to the show.
I guess they're watching me in the other room. They heard that I was I didn't have good lighting. This doesn't help the stripes though.
Okay. Your stripes are from your camera, probably.
Probably. I don't know what's going on.
But yeah, those are the kittens, and Misty might make it in too because Misty's really close to Mist, and I've been reading Mistborn.
Oh, that is great.
I've been reading
the Mistborn series. How's How's that been going?
Oh my goodness, I'm on chapter like 54 out of 82 of the last book. So
okay,
cool. And of course, a lot of the things I assumed way back in book one are true, and there are some things that have yet to be confirmed, but I know it will be really soon. For instance,
sweet,
I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but the earring we know is the how. I'm just gonna say it that way, and anybody that's read. Exactly what I'm talking about, and I thought that from like book one, I was like, somehow this thing is causing issues, or it's going to be a huge help to a certain person. And now that I'm where I am, I'm like, I was right. It's a big issue.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Anyway, speaking of which, there's some confirmation in these chapters that we've been waiting on for a bit, or I feel like it's confirmation. I
don't think anybody else does. We get good stuff. Let's move right in. So chapter 15,
we can skip this chapter.
Yeah, we can't skip this chapter. A pile of sand. All this is a pile of sand. It's a really crappy chapter.
And funny. Egwene's still kind of dazed because she's pregnant from her dreams and she doesn't know it yet. And that's about it.
She's beggars too.
Yeah. And when Min shows up with Rand, she's probably going to get preggers. They're all going to have kids at the same time.
Okay. They're all going to get pregnant. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. This is the chapter. We actually did this live for Patreons. And Ian ended up running over something and busting up his car and had to leave early. So the whole reason why we were doing the live reading was for the next chapter. And we ended up cutting it short because Ian just bailed on us. Was like, my car's broken. I got to go. And I was like, okay, dude, we'll just cut it short. That's fine. It was a test run anyway. So, anyways,
if y'all haven't run over one of those 18-wheeler tires that's in the middle of your lane, and it was basically a full tire, it ripped all of the plastic splash guard, which is in like 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces on my car. All four of them got ripped out from underneath, and they were barely dangling on when I was able to pull over, and I had to rip them off.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so there's a kid that I met not too long ago. 18 wheeler got too close and ate his car up from the back to the front. You know how they put those spikes on the tires?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, no.
You know how you think, oh, my God, I wonder what would happen if he
said. That's what happens.
He sent me the picture. She shouldn't let cars just shoot up.
I talked to him last night, and he's like, they totaled my car. That's no how shit. Bad it was. Like, it ate. The entire side of the car. He's fine, so I can laugh because I saw, him like yesterday. But
I'll only be out maybe $100. I can order all those parts off of RockAuto.com, and they're
he's like, mail, I so. Have to find a brand new car, a new used car. He's like, do you know how hard that is? I was like, yeah, I went through that a few months ago.
Especially right
good
now,
luck. Yeah. Anyway, a pile of sand was what his car looked like.
A pile of sand. Yeah. So Egwene awakes from the wet dream with Gawain. Gawain's wet dream. And she immediately goes right back to sleep just to get some actual rest. Her dream.
Gawain did a good job.
And her dreams begin easily enough with Gawain, but slowly turn more nightmarish. She dreams of Perrin with a hawk and falcon on his shoulders and a wolf at his feet.
Getting chased by an axe.
Yeah, getting chased by an axe. Yeah, exactly. And dreams of Matt speaking the old tongue. She sees two ravens on each one of his shoulders and talons digging into his flesh. She sees a shrouded woman beckoning him into danger. And then her dream shift to Rand. And she sees Elaine forcing him to his knees.
Giggity.
Giggity. On your knees.
Now you should have done the one where Moraine takes her on her knees.
The only Moraine one of guys this one is the Will Reese of the Will Wills.
Her on your knees was.
Good point.
She prophetic? That's the point we were making.
Yeah, and that's what's going to ask you guys. Yeah.
I think it's developing. As you look at this, it's not necessary. I mean, some of it's future, but some of it's stuff we already know, but maybe she doesn't know yet, but it's already happened.
Sure.
But then is it Elida getting Rand on his knees or Elaine?
Elaine.
Oh.
That's why I say giggity.
Still,
and then, okay. Still, and then Elaine Minnett actually ended up forming a circle around him and all reaching to touch him.
That's the baby triumvirate. That's
and yeah, he so, walks. The final yeah, thing is he walks towards a burning mountain, and boots of his boots are crunching the seals of the Dark One's prison as he walks.
Yeah, that was part. That was pretty awesome.
So
a little bit of prophecy. It seems to be like pretty heavy in metaphor, but so this makes sense. Like I've read a lot about interpreting dreams. I used to have very vivid dreams all the time. We've talked about this. I don't get them so much anymore.
Your mom's into that a lot.
My mom is. And my there's been a couple occasions where my mom's talked to me about a dream she had. She's like, it's kind of reoccurring. It's been bugging me. I can't quite make sense of it. Then something big will happen in the world. And then we both look at each other like, oh my gosh, like that's a perfect parallel sort of thing. But so anyways, being able to like, even if you believe in it and you're a person that can have like these prophetic dreams or whatever, it's not like you just have one and you wake up and you go, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like it usually takes a lot of study. Even the dreams are in riddles. Different things don't necessarily mean the exact same thing in the real world sort of thing. So I feel like that's kind of where we're at with her. Like she doesn't even realize that these might be real visions. She's considering them as nightmares. So we're in those early stages, and then she's going to bump into a situation where she's like, holy cow, wait a minute, I dreamt something very similar to this. And then it'll develop as we go. So maybe by the end of these books, like she's, you know, predicting exactly how the last battle is going to play out, or another one of these strategists that's helping Rand move in such a way so that he can win because she can see the future sort of thing. But we're not there yet. We're just starting out.
What do you think about Axe chasing Perrin?
I think more importantly was the fact that he's running away from a tinker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk about that.
So, I mean, going to the Axe floating through the air chasing him, I think this is him. Well, I wanted to say it's him just kind of running away from the idea of being a warlord.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a continual theme for him. The same with the wolf lying on his feet, and then the hawk and the falcon perching on his shoulder. Like we know Fael, and then we know realize that he's got a lot going on there. But he turned away from a tinker and ran faster and faster than she called for him to come back. Like, I don't know if that's just him running away from the idea of peace, or if maybe he finds out more about the Tinkers and his relation with them in some way.
You've chosen violence.
I think the axe chasing him is just Stormbreaker trying to let him know that he's worthy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't believe that he is, so he's running away. No, just I mean, Chris, you nailed it. And I think that's what we're supposed to think here. I think of all the characters, you know, Matt kind of dabbled in it early on. Like, I just want to go back home. I just want to go back home. But Perrin did go back home, and he still had to fight that big fight. And like more than anything, I think Perrin just wants to be done with this shit. He wants to live in peace. I think he would love to do the Tinker life. I don't even think he wants to rule in any way, shape, or form. But I think fate or the wheel or the Tavirinus or whatever, he's not going to be able to escape it. He has more fights to come, and he's going to have to use that axe again.
Yeah. What do you think about the ravens with Matt?
I was just about to go there. Early on in book one, we assumed the ravens had something to do with a god or the god. And then
Odin.
The dark, yeah, we said Odin in the beginning, like, being funny about it, but then we realized that the Dark One uses ravens and rats and bats and all sorts of things. So it's just like the Dark One, like, taking control or gripping into...
But the spear he has his ravens on it, too.
Yeah. Maybe there's another power out there that's going to grip into him and take hold of him.
I don't like assigning any like natural born animal to being exclusively evil. That's never truly been my experience. Mm-mm. So if it were like deformed orc like ravens, I'd be like,
have you met a chihuahua? I mean,
yeah.
Are pure evil. Pure evil. I have a real hatred for tall people.
Unless you're one of their people. Sometimes they have a very small circle and they only have one person that they love. But if you're that one person, they're pretty badass. So I say that to say that, yes, maybe ravens can be used that way by the Dark Lord or by Forsaken or whatever, but maybe they're not exclusively used that way. We're also thinking about Matt, you know, going across the water, hooking up with some Shan Chan chick. And maybe there the ravens are controlled and used differently.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
true. Or maybe he just has the ability to harness that power, or will have that ability to harness that power, but not necessarily making him evil.
So now you are saying it's all prophetic.
Well, yeah, it's maybe not all.
I think it might all be. I think there's still so much to come that we haven't seen yet.
That's true.
Like, we haven't seen a wolf necessarily lay at Perrin's feet yet at all. They have come to him. They have called him brother, but they have not called him master or lord
or king. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've gotten that feeling. That's where he's going. But again,
but they're good boys.
Going
but
in the future, good boys.
They're good boys. So yeah. And then Rand's with the most with Elaine, and then also the circle of them. The three girls around him.
Oh, don't skip the Elaine forcing him to his knees with one hand.
Okay.
Now, part of that's wondering whether or not Elaine maybe gets his bond.
That'd be, yeah.
Very good.
We didn't say bondage, Alan. We said,
sorry.
Huge difference.
So, or maybe we do find that she creates a, you know, link that can control the males, and then she takes control of him. I mean, we don't know. At the moment, Rand is like all in power individual, but at some point he's got to be, you know, put under control because he's going mad. So maybe this is that.
I don't like that at all. Has to be put under control.
I mean, it's either that or put him down. You know what they do with rabid dogs.
What? Let the man be a man.
And then you got the three Elaine, Min, and Avienda sitting in a silent circle around him, each in turn reaching out to lay a hand on him. That, I think that's just the marriage circle.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to get married, in a very ideal type way.
Okay.
It could be more than just a romantic thing, too. I mean, we already saw in Carian. Yeah, sure, that one. You know, Rand couldn't fight that one by himself. If it wasn't for Egwene and Avienda, they might not have won that one. You know, he barely got through it. So, you know, maybe it's showing like how they need to be there to help him.
I mean, I agree with that too. I kind of think like that triad of power.
Yeah, to help support him and
help supporting him. And yeah, I agree with that comment. I think that's a safe bet. Now him going towards a mountain on fire and then crushing the or shattering the seals. I have felt like the stronger he's gotten, the weaker the seals have become.
Yeah. So this is the thing that's currently happening, but also looking to the future. I like that. His power is growing, and as he develops, that's what's weakening the seals. It's like there's a balance there.
Yeah. I think that's in a lot of these books, there's some type of balance. Like you have, you know, your ruin and your preserving. So the balance of power in this book, the stronger he gets, the looser the hold or the chains that hold back the Dark One are.
Yep.
I like it.
So then after this, she's woken up for breakfast, Egwene.
But I'm not hungry.
Exactly. And yeah, she doesn't feel like eating. But then Amice, Malayne, and Bear come in to the tent. The next scene unfolds.
So this whole scene coming up, I guess if we dug in into it, there's some important stuff, but it wasn't too exciting for me. I guess
The wise ones get pissed some more.
Yeah, and then like Egwene gets to ask more questions, and they're like, normally you have so many questions. So she's, and a couple of her questions are good, and she gets some good answers.
Mm-hmm.
More confirmation that she must really love Gawain the way she got sucked in there, and he must really love her the way he sucked her in there. I mean, you just don't suck people off like that unless you really love them. So,
right.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. And I guess what Malaine frowns at Cowan and orders her to dig through a pile of sand until it finds one red grain. Forgot about that.
No, we didn't forget about it. We just didn't want to talk about it.
Still want to talk about that.
She's going to make her do stupid stuff just because she won't come back and be what she's supposed to be.
She keeps on trying to be Gaishan, which is like, you know, forced slavery. Voluntary
slavery.
Slavery, yeah. Exactly.
Servant,
yeah. But she's refusing to stop being a servant.
That also wasn't all that exciting. So there's a lot of them that are doing that. I guess
there is a whole lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll be significant at some point.
But they need them to not do that because they need the help.
Right.
Like, they're crippling them big time. So there's that. And then you have the whole, like, the fact that they don't realize that she's in and out of the dream space shows that they're not really keeping that close of an eye on Elaine. Mm-hmm. Egwene.
Or are they?
I don't think they are.
Okay.
I think they're a little bit more sensible. Like, their whole reasoning is if you're not eating, you're not getting stronger. If you're not getting stronger, you can't go into the dreams. Because we can't have a weak person in the dreams ending up getting themselves in trouble. So should they be watching her better? Yes, because they just assume that she's doing what she's told to do.
Yeah.
But it's not very wise.
Oh, yeah. And I did take note. I don't know if it's significant. You know, Egwene had that massive headache after the battle, and it's still kind of lingering. It seems like a while for a headache to be there. Of course, she's not giving herself the best chance at healing because she keeps dabbling in the dreams.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe she over-channeled a little bit.
Or maybe that's in relation to, like, herself unlocking. Like, she's becoming, her mind is trying to comprehend everything that's now going on.
Yeah.
Fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a couple different movies where, like, in TV shows where beings that don't have, like, significant brain capacity, like, they get massive amounts of information, like, downloaded onto them, and they're, like, wicked smart for a little while, but then their brains essentially melt on them, and, you know, they die because they just can't handle all those processes. So it could be a little of that, like, she just is getting overloaded.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So then we switch to Elaine, unless we want to continue with Egwene for a bit. Anything else from this?
No.
Yeah. So we get to Elaine. She is there to see what Tarna's leaving to go back to the White Tower. And after she leaves, they come out and announce that they are just going to continue seeing Saladar. They're not going to go back to the White Tower yet. Continue doing what they're doing. So there's some concern there that was going to happen. That's kind of, you know, relieved with this announcement. And after all the people disperse, kind of the more meat of this section is when Nynaeve and Elaine go find Sheerium and tell them about what they discovered in Tel Aranriad and about Ebudar, and they want to go there to try to find this mysterious bowl or whatever. And and immediately they're like, yeah, Ebudar's no place for accepted. Your places are here. You can't go. Like,
these Aes Sedai are starting to piss me off. And it's funny, sometimes Nynaeve's attitude, like, pisses you off, and as the reader, you're like, oh, Nynaeve, stop. No, you're going to the top. And then there's sections like this where I'm like, yeah, tell her again. Tell Sheerium to stuff it up her ass.
That's what Nynaeve does,
I was cheering for Nynaeve this one, because the Aes Sedai, even though I don't think they're actually going to hear it and comprehend it, I feel like they need to hear it.
Yeah.
Between that and then, it's weird, Elaine, I know she says she essentially kind of made it up to make it sound more intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole, and this one I think takes a male channeler to use also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know she just threw it in there, but maybe that's true. And if it's true, I mean, that definitely puts an Age of Legends time frame on this piece, but also means that what it can do is wildly powerful.
Sure.
Not just like a little powerful, a lot of powerful.
Like, so powerful.
So powerful. It'd be kind of cool. Wait, is that why y'all say that?
No, I guess it's Saw Ungrill. Like, there's Ungrills that are kind of powerful, and then there's Saw Ungrills, which are really powerful because they're powerful.
Okay. Now it's making sense.
That's just us being stupid. But you said Nynaeve loses her temper, says, you know, all you guys do is nothing but talk. Like, we need action. And that doesn't go over too well. They're both punished by having to scrub pots now. So, yeah. Anything from all that? I mean, I know we kind of just breezed over all that, but I mean, it was this chapter's not a whole lot. I'm trying to pull stuff out.
I mean, you would think by conversation that they had with Swan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little better. I like that more than the Shiryu conversation.
We talk about that.
I mean, it's very much what we already know. I mean, first and foremost, the idea that if you're pretending to be part of an Aja, that Aja has first call on you. That's good to note because they have all done that at some point in time. Mm-hmm. So if that's found out, they may be forced into an Aja that they don't necessarily want to be a part of. So I
that could also mean first dibs to punish you, though.
That too.
not necessarily. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think that's the other side of it is, but they want these girls. Like, I feel like they know more than what they're letting on, and they really want to get a hold of them. And so there's mm-hmm. that. And yeah. then the whole idea of, like, come back and all is forgiven. I really do think they want to lean in that direction. They're tired of fighting. They're tired of struggling.
And the other Aes Sedai, not this group.
They want the tower to be whole. I think all the Aes Sedai want that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they want to do it in their own terms, but they want
except for the Black Aja. I don't think they want it.
But who are they?
Who aren't they? That might be easier to answer.
They're all Black Aja.
So what I like about the interactions we keep having with Swan and Elaine and Nynaeve is I feel like despite all their bickering and back and forth and rolling their eyes at each other and tussles here and there, I feel like that relationship is growing.
Okay.
I feel like there's some trust growing. I'm starting to get the feel that Swan is that coach you had that you swore up and down he was horrible or she was horrible, like the biggest asshole in the world. And then finally, after you win the championship and you turn around and they like shake your hand and say, good job on you, you can do it. You're like, son of a bitch, you were pushing me the whole time, making me better, but you were an asshole as you were doing it. And the coach is like being that asshole, but in the back of their mind going, all right, I see what you're doing there. All right, let me push a little harder, see how much further you can go. Like,
I have plenty of coaches like that. I was like that as a coach when I used to coach sailing.
Yeah.
I remember that's one thing that one of our friends, Adam, complained about me. It's the first time I came out and coached him. I think he won the first race I watched him do. And he came back to the boat all excited. And he was like, do you see that? I won a race. I was like, yeah, you got lucky. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, you went and banged the corner. I was complete luck. Like, you sucked. Like, get back out there and actually try to win more races.
Yeah,
he's like, wah, wah, wah.
He got all pissed off, and he's like, why? I just won a race, and you're telling me I suck? I was like, yeah, you got lucky, like literally. That's kind of the
vibe I'm getting with Swan. Like, I think obviously she recognizes the power and potential. Well, the power that all these girls have, but she also recognizes the potential and knows like it's there's so much that they're going to be able to do that nobody here is going to be able to teach them. So they have to somehow be motivated to grow and do better on their own. So she's definitely poking and prodding.
Yeah. And then the final little tidbit we get is Morvin and Shiryum talking about Rand, how he scares them to death and wondering if they've already run out of options and what to do about that. As far as what they're going to do with Rand, whether they have no options anymore.
What do you know, there is the option that literally everybody just goes to him and says, all right, Dragon Reborn, what would you like us to do?
Pledge fealty. Yeah, that is an option. Pledge fealty. They're going to take that option.
Has that been discussed at all?
No. Have you read anything about Aes Sedai in any of these books? Yeah, like, that's not in their mentality at all. Like, they are the top shit, and everyone else is beneath them.
But that was one of the best things Moraine could have done when she did it. Even though she did it knowing that, okay, shit, I'm about to die. I have to kind of let him start to do his own thing. But she, if you remember,
I think it got better when she finally pledged fealty to him. Yeah.
And she was still able to influence. And we almost got to the point where Rand started thinking like, oh my gosh, I wish Moraine was here to advise me on this. Like, holy cow, now I'm missing. Like, pledge the fealty and then let him figure out like how he needs you. And. Yeah.
Their heads are too big.
You're right. They're not going to do it. Well, that's their problem.
No, that is the problem.
I don't think they're the solution. I think they're the problem.
Probably. So, anything else?
Nah.
I think that's the end of this chapter.
It is.
Oh, no. It's over.
Yeah. Oh, no. We can move to such a good one. You guys ready to go on?
Yes.
I'm going to grab my water real quick.
Okay.
It'll take me 30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds.
I got a little bit of filler stuff. So when Alan was talking about how we were going to do the live listening to this, and then I had the car issue or whatever.
And the weather will be stormy, and there is a 85% chance of rain, and this is how I'm...
Yeah. And the crops in the left field off to the north about 5 degrees. They're complaining that the apples are a little bit less than normal production. And
meanwhile, he's like half paying attention. He's more focused on how, all right, I want to look like I'm just casually lounging in this chair. Yeah. But it's actually not comfortable to do this. But that's the image I want to give off. I wonder how they're interpreting how I'm sitting.
But then Bashir comes in and kind of saves them because it's like halfway through the report. He's like, oh, Bashir's here. Get out of here. I'm done with the report for the day.
There's a CNU professor that teaches accounting, and I wish I could remember his name. He reminds me of a turtle, bald hair, glasses.
I don't know.
He has this droning voice. It's just... He's still taught from the book. He wrote everything. Here we had like high-tech classrooms, and he was writing everything on the whiteboard. And crazy. Like I just didn't. I was like, this is why I can't do accounting. If I have to take 3 years worth of classes from you, I'm gonna cut my wrist. Like,
or you're gonna get a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
That would have been great, actually. Should have thought about that. But yeah, you're right. So Rand gets saved by the fact that more important people show up.
Or
supposed more important people show up.
Yeah. And Bashir presents four powerful nobles of Andor: Lady Dailin, Lord Abel, Lady Ellerin, and Lord Luan.
We can't forget the announcement. My Lord Dragon, Lord of the Mornings, Prince of the Dawn, true defender of the light. Before whom the world kneels in awe, I give you those people.
He's like, Bashir, nice. Didn't know all that about myself, but thank you. Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, I mean, so the nobles all think that Rand has a hidden agenda, so there's this really awkward kind of cat and mouse game going on, because they don't play Daes d'Amar that great here in Camelin, but they still try, like the Kyrians do.
I would like to stop that comparison. I know it keeps coming up. The whole, like, how well they are at Daes d'Amar. Because what they do is different, and I think it's more effective. And I think it's better. It's very direct. And there's a undertone of...
They're Germans.
There's an undertone of a very serious threat. And they don't really dance around it. They just kind of lay it out in front of you. And I like that.
I do, too.
I think Rand appreciates that. I think he's thinking there's going to be a whole lot more dancing, but there isn't. He's like, okay, well, at the end of this, you don't trust me, I don't trust you. But we both showed enough cards here that we're making progress. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with Daes d'Amar.
Sure.
And I agree with you. Like, that is of the utmost importance. But we also have to think about the image. I want to kind of go back to that real quick. Rand doesn't want to be seen as a country bumpkin. But then in the background, you have Luz Theron, who says, I was the Lord of the Morning. I am the Prince of the Dawn. Is that a little foresight? Like,
he's coming.
He's coming.
Yeah, losing his head.
I'm coming back. I want the world to know.
But like, is he going to take over? Is he going to find a way out? Like, because Rand eventually is like, are you actually there, or am I just going mad?
Right.
Answer me.
Answer.
That's later on, but
Luz will just answer with his kill him, kill him, kill him. That's all he's...
Smash it, break it, kill him, stab
kill him all. Anyway, so and we did get kind of breeze over this. I mean, Rand does dismiss Bashir, and they are relieved to see him. I mean, obviously, him being a foreign lord, controlling the army of Andor is kind of unsettling for these nobles. And that's definitely noted.
Well, Rand does a great move. He said, "I will not welcome you. This is your land, the palace of your queen. Mm-hmm. But I am pleased you have accepted my invitation." Like that really was
smooth,
a little ballsy. Like,
yeah,
not ballsy, but like ballsy, like gonads, like cojones. Like,
I think he's saying it from his heart, though. I don't think this is Rand playing a game. I think he means that when he says it.
I agree with you. I think if they had read that and understood it, then they would have moved a lot further along in this conversation.
Yeah.
He had nothing to do with the death of the queen, who is not dead.
Right.
They just don't know that. And he truly loves Elaine, so.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to keep the throne for her. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what he's doing. And Dairylyn's trying to position herself to take the throne because she's next in line. So.
Well, I thought somebody was trying to position her, but she was like, no, Elaine.
Yeah, she does, but she wants to be the speak for Elaine. Yeah. She's definitely. Sure.
Yeah. She's a somebody. As of right now, of who's there, she's the somebody.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And she does say that she'll support him, and she pledges some kind of allegiance to Rand as well in this whole scene.
Unless you cross a certain line, in which case my pledge is to fucking destroy you. And everybody else is like, me too, also us.
Yeah.
So there's an agreement, but there's boundaries drawn on how that agreement will work.
Yeah, I love how they weren't super intimidated by his use of the power to cool their wine. Like, I know it's a subtle detail, and they, you know, were a little apprehensive after the fact. But I think it's more out of disdain for the power rather than fear that he can use it so easily.
But look at the message they gave him. Like, okay, so they know he's a dragon reborn. They went through all the different rumors out there. Oh, he's just an Aes Sedai puppet. Even that little gesture there, they're like, okay, the power's real with this guy. But they still draw a hard line of, yes, we'll support you unless you do X, Y, Z, and then we're going to come after you. They're saying that knowing full well that he could annihilate them.
But they also have like the knowledge of the cycle, and they know like his objective isn't supposed to be to rule, but to fight the dark one at Tarmin Gaiden.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Bring that up. Like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. So get to work.
Mm-hmm. I guess my point there was they would be a dangerous enemy to have because they are a principled enemy.
Oh, yeah.
You're not necessarily going to buy them off. You're not even going to scare them away with the threats of your power. They don't care if they die in the process. If it's something worth fighting for, they're going to fight you.
Right.
So I guess that's where I was going.
Yeah. And then anything from all this before we talk about when the meeting breaks up and Rand talks to Dailin kind of alone?
I like the whole you're Morghese's illegitimate son. Maybe that's Tom's other child.
Within
the list of rumors
that they have.
You're Morghese's illegitimate son, and maybe Tom's your papa.
Yeah.
We know that's not true, but I thought that was funny. I was like, well, hey, she clearly had a few friends, so maybe, you know, that could have been a possibility. Sure.
Yeah. That list of rumor mill stuff, hopefully that was something Rand took note of. It's not going to be as easy for him to just slowly march through, conquer this, and unify people.
Sure.
He's got to battle the PR stuff as well. Because when you think about it, these people don't know Rand. They hear all of these rumors. Of course they're not going to trust him. Yeah. So it's not just these meetings. He's got to find a way to overcome that rumor mill, get his own PR stuff out there.
Yeah. Especially since they think that he is the Dark One. Like that is something they thought beforehand. That's why it was italicized. And then that's also a rumor going around. So.
Sure.
Yep.
And then, so the meeting then breaks up. And before the nobles leave, he pulls Dailin aside and says, hey, can I...
Because Dylan was giving him googly eyes the whole time.
Everybody was apparently.
Let's give him straight. Yeah, they're looking at him.
Why
are
you eyeballing me?
No, why are you eyeballing me?
But she was like extra strangely. Well, then Dylan
just tells him, he's just like, you look like a spitted image of Tigraine. And he's like, who? He's like, Tigraine.
Who that is?
He's like,
just Rand's baby mama.
That was the daughter of Mare before she disappeared 25 years ago. Just randomly disappeared. She was supposed to take over the throne, and that's how Morghese came to power, is because Tigraine disappeared. and that's actually Galad's mama.
Yep. Rand, so yeah. Galad, Rand's half brother. I could see Rand, that I meme with the lady actually, at the board and all the math in the background.
Predicted this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you guys loosely did. You weren't sure what her name was and like maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I think
that one works too. At some point, we were like, maybe he's related. But wouldn't that make him like Elaine's half brother?
No, distant cousin.
Okay, cousin.
Or step brother, I guess, technically. Yeah, related
to Moraine.
Yeah, but closer related to Moraine. Yeah. No, because that's on the Demodred side. So Tigraine was married to Demodred. Was married to a Demodred, which Moraine Demodred. Demandred. Not Demodred, not the Forsaken Demodred. Demandred. There's so many D's.
Yeah.
Demandred, Moraine Demandred was the niece of Tigraine and Morghese's husband.
Well, like step-related then at some point.
Yeah, at some point. But Tigraine left Demandred to go to the place. And that's when she met the clan chief. And that's when Rand has a different father.
Yeah.
But because of all the Andorian nobility, you're able actually to draw family charts and go back and look at it. She's a distant cousin because they're all the nobility is related somehow. So
that's why the teeth ain't straight.
I think some people actually have gone out and figured out exactly how far distant cousins Elaine and Rand are, but they are distant cousins.
They're distanced enough to where when they're
big, it's not that big of a deal.
It won't have two heads. Gotcha.
Right. It's a distant cousin, but yes.
I mean, then again, back in those times or forward in those times, you got to do what you got to do to keep the blood strong. So.
I mean, Game of Thrones just straight up had the brother-sister thing.
Exactly. Just do what you do.
And they knew it. It wasn't an accident. It was on purpose.
Yeah.
There you go.
A lot on purpose.
Demon Dread, bad guy. Damon Dread, last name. Okay, that's right. So. gotta love Jordan with all his...
Confusion. That's what he does.
But anyway, We get our confirmation
that Rand is royalty on two sides.
Yeah, and actually technically an heir.
Yeah.
In some heir ways. I mean, Galad's a little higher recognized because Galad's his older half-brother. But still. And also males cannot take the succession in Andor. It's a female.
Galad was supposed to take over Carian.
Yes.
And then the plan was... At some point,
Yeah.
So they would kind of rule with one family, two kingdoms.
But Rand would have... Rand's royalty. Royal set. That's what it gets down to. Yeah. On both sides. On both Aiel and
chief Andor. And a heir. So... Mm-hmm. And here we thought he was just a lowly country boy.
Yeah. And she gave up all that. I mean, I guess she... There was a Aes Sedai's advisor, Gitara Morsa, who actually was the one who prophesied the dragon being born on Dragonmount.
Yeah,
that told her she had to give up her places being, basically the future queen of Andor and her newborn son, and had to leave Camelin or the whole world would die. And she had to go to the Aiel Waste, and she believed it and left, packed her bags and left. Didn't tell anybody.
How powerful is that, though, that you can have a say in what a queen decides to do with her life?
Like, she said you died, everyone would die. Like, not just you, but everyone's going to die if you don't do this.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris. So the little bit that I talked to Alan about after I read this was how much of a leap was that for her to take? Like, wouldn't it sound like so absurd that you'd be like, nah? Because, all right, so Rand at 20 years old... Back in Emmons Field, they're starting to see signs. You know, winter's lingering a little bit too long. We're starting to see more wolves. Like, there's only starting to be signs 20 years from this prophecy, apparently, that something big's about to go down. So there's no other signs or anything like that. Just somebody that you kind of trust that, you know, I guess she had to be very confident that her prophecies were accurate and that she wasn't going to lie about them.
My biggest thought on that is... You know, the queens of Andor typically have an Aes Sedai at their side from the giddy-up. So this is probably that person for her.
Right.
And so she's been groomed her whole life to listen to this Aes Sedai.
That's still a radical change for a radical prophecy.
Huge. I agree. That's why it threw me completely off. Like,
what other catalyst was there? Does Jordan actually go into that in the book, or was this kind of it?
How many late teenagers or whatever, however old she was, that grew up in a life of royalty are going to be convinced to give up that life completely and just walk away from it?
Yeah. And become an IU of all things.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now now you start to think, all right, was this Aes Sedai totally on the up and up? Was there some compulsion there? Because not only did she leave, but Luke got sent off up north to fight. And we know what happened to Luke.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know exactly what happened or how it happened, but we have an idea of Luke.
Lord Luke shows up last book. And
right. And his world's all fucked up. Yeah. We know there's problems there. So, like, did the Aes Sedai just reveal this prophecy and convince them to leave? Or did she compel them in some way? Does she have an evil hand in this?
So, Luke?
Do you guys remember back to last book when they first meet Lord Luke and they said he looks a lot like Rand?
Well, I don't remember that comparison.
Yeah, that's a comparison. But if you go back to book four, it says that.
And that would be his uncle?
His uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
I didn't catch that.
On his mom's side?
Yeah. Uncle on his mom's side.
So maybe the prophecy was actually that her child was going to be the dragon reborn. And then this Aes Sedai didn't want that shit to happen. So she's like, I'm going to convince her to run away, go off, fight with the ideal. And clearly she's going to die. And we don't have to worry about this.
I don't know. I'm going to have faith in it. What happened to this Aes Sedai?
What happened to her.
Maybe she comes back into play.
I just don't trust any of the Aes Sedai these days. I mean, as you read it, you want to think like, oh, this is just helping the story move along. But then I'm like, wait, Aes Sedai was involved. Was she being shady? Or was she on the up and up?
I love how Rand's like, I love the history. And the woman's like, this is not history.
I live this.
I'm only 21.
Please don't call it history. I was a child when all this happened, and I ain't that old.
Yeah.
Like kids these days referring to the late 1900s or whatever.
Yeah.
Back in the late
1990s. I bet you back in your day, you guys had to do back in my day.
The late 1900s.
I'll tell you about back in my day. You had to cut the computer on. You had to use two floppy disks. And then you waited 10 minutes for the dial tone to end.
Mm-hmm.
So you could surf the web.
We didn't have a computer in our house until 7th grade.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you had dial-up internet.
Yep.
That was fun. We used to ride our bikes down to the local university because they had cable internet and hang out there. Anyway, so after all this, anything from all this? Any more? I mean, this is the big like reveal from this chapter, obviously. But anything before I move on?
Rand tries to play it cool, but I think they both in that conversation realize the same thing.
Sure.
I think Rand put the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
I think she realizes just in that conversation that it's true.
Right.
Yeah.
And when the four nobles leave, Bashir announces the next visitor, which is a messenger from Samuel himself. Forsaken.
Kind of cool.
He walks in like the Joker.
Yep.
Permanent smile on his face.
Yeah, grand plaster on his face. It looks disturbing nonetheless. And Samuel proposes a truce. Says, hey, listen, let the Forsaken fight amongst themselves. And let's just, you can kill all them off and we'll fight the Vereyet. Let's just,
I am surprised, honestly, that Rand did not take this deal.
Are you?
From a strategic standpoint, I am. I really feel as if he could have played this better. Taken the deal, gotten some help getting rid of the others, knowing that he could beat Samuel without issue.
Do you think this deal's real? I mean, do you think Samuel's actually going to hold his end of the bargain?
One, how could you trust it? And then two, after Samuel... So at least Rand believes Samuel intervened and got a lot of Aiel dead and everything, especially maidens. Rand, out of all the Forsaken, he wants revenge there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he's not going to shake the hand of this Forsaken.
Every now and then, you just got to concede to the idea and ride it out for a little bit just to get the upper hand. He could have used the time and the space
maybe
that it would have provided. Had it worked, because like, you're right.
I mean, he is like the father of lies, the trickster and all that. So who knows? But I feel like he should have gone for it just because.
Even if you accept the deal and just immediately make plans to double cross.
Yes.
It still gives you an opportunity to get them to hesitate.
Yes.
It might give you an opening. Yeah. I could see that play.
And then Luce's thoughts come into his mind as well. Like, because he brings up his past atrocities that Rand knows nothing about, but Luce knows everything about. Like, he's just like, no, you're going to answer for all your crimes. Everything you did.
And he starts listing them.
Yeah, starts listing them all out. Like, everything you did back, you know, way 3,000 years ago.
And the guy's like sweating all over and like begging with his eyes for him to shut up. And Rand's not paying any attention.
Yep. And it says there'll be no truce with the Shadow. Sailor will be brought to justice for all his crimes. And then upon hearing that, the guy just kind of melts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite gross. So it's like, give him a bucket and scoop him up and get rid of him.
Yeah, and I think Bashir made the comment, like, I guess that's how he knows that there was a no. If guy just shut back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Rand didn't do that to him. It's like the message self-destructed.
Right.
But it wasn't necessary because, like, Samuel was speaking through him and hearing also from Rand. Have you guys have you watched The Strain? It's on Hulu right now. It's some twist to the whole vampire thing where it's more like a parasitic infection, whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so
I have started to watch something like that.
The master is able to speak through any of the infected. And you could tell the infected, like the master's in their head because their eyes glow differently or whatever. So this reminded me of that for anybody that's watched that. I was like, oh, it's kind of like The Strain. Super cheesy show. I'm not recommending you watch it, but if you got time to kill, it's
good. I was watching Miss Marvel.
Yeah, Mission Impossible message. Yeah.
Especially right. Self-destruct.
Yeah. So would that still happen if Rand responded positively? Like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Let me shake your hand. And then the dude explodes. It's like, the fuck just happened?
Turn into a puddle of blood and flesh, I think is what it says.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was quite gruesome.
Clean up on aisle two.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see all this like in the show.
If they keep it in, yeah, that'd be interesting.
I'm anxious about what they're gonna do to change to adapt it.
Yeah. I want them to have this scene and then with all the technology and cinematography that they have, I want them to go low tech and make it like
the mountain fall, like the house falling on Cersei.
No. Indiana Jones, where the dude drank from the and then he slowly turned into an old person and shriveled away. Like, that should be the scene of this Samuel message.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the fans would love it.
Definitely. So after all that, Rand decides he's kind of done with Andor at the moment. So he leaves and goes to Carrion to get away from Alana and everything else.
Taking Abienda with him.
Uh-huh.
She stepped out of nowhere. All the women surrounded him and opened up a path for her and her alone. Like,
you can shut the door on me this time.
And all the maidens giggled again.
He's like, I'm not even going for you. I have other things to do. Yeah. You're just going to take me with you.
Bashir tries to stop him. He's like, wait, but you're supposed to inspect my troops. And he's like, I'll do it tomorrow. Like, I'll be back tomorrow.
He's the ultimate procrastinator.
Exactly.
Like the second time he's put Bashir off. Poor Bashir.
Yeah. He's bigger stuff he has to worry about.
Where are our contingencies at? Why is it taking them so long to get the Rand?
For who?
Oh, like the Aes Sedai come in? Yeah, and Perrin. Where's Perrin?
Like, where are all
they can't travel. I mean, they can't travel. They gotta go like normal, like walking
horse speed. It's taking forever.
You gotta remember, like even through
back contingencies and Perrin, who can travel.
But like the first couple of books, we did all our traveling through like portal stones and through the ways, which are super fast ways, and they don't know how to do all that stuff, or they don't want to do the ways. They get spoiled with traveling. Yeah.
Yeah. And unless you have perfect roads, doing over 20 miles a day for multiple days is a lot.
Yeah. Those girls did it.
What girls?
From Edmonds Field.
That's true. So Perrin should be close by.
Yeah, he should be close by. Like, where's Perrin? Where's my Perrin chapter, Alan?
Yeah. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully. I really someone, don't care about at the beginning of this book, someone told me, oh, y'all are about to get so much pairing. And I wish I remembered who it was because they were clearly fucking with us.
Yeah.
Like, what are we halfway through?
Second half, you know.
We're going to blame either Jake or Zul just because they like doing that to us.
Yeah, somebody gave me that false info.
Yeah. Anyways. So that's how we end the chapters. I'm leaving the gateway and going to Kyrian and saying deuces.
Yeah.
Yep.
Must be nice. I would love to be able to just hop on my private jet and go anywhere I want without thinking about it.
So yeah. Egwene is still in Kyrian?
Egwene's in Kyrian, yes.
So Rand should be able to talk to her and find out the whereabouts of Elayne.
Yes. Should be.
Hasn't he been going to Kyrian? Or is he not?
Yeah, he's been Rand?
Yeah.
Rand's been going back and forth the gateways between Andor.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So why hasn't he talked to Egwene about Elayne? Or why hasn't Egwene told him about Elayne?
Egwene's been kept on lockdown.
Yeah.
She hasn't been talking to anybody about anything.
Stupid. Why is everybody letting the wise ones do that?
Communication in the real time? No. Say it ain't so.
Yeah, Jordan could have wrote that better. Yeah. And he didn't talk to Egwene on the seventh visit also because the wise ones said no. Come on. Watching how all of our Edmunds Fielders have acted through this entire book, for them to just somebody tell them no and they go, okay. Like, come on. Yeah. It's out of character for all of them.
But he also thought she was like in a unconscious state for a while there.
All the more reason that he'd want to visit her and hold her hand. True. I mean,
I get you. There's a lot of flaws there.
Yeah. So Gawain is sick from the attack on her.
Yeah.
Sure. And I get that. But wouldn't that be all the more reason for
him to go visit? He's a good friend. I agree. There's a flaw in the writing in that.
It just seems silly.
I agree.
Because that requires communication, guys.
Yeah, right. That's the simplest of communication. Like, hey, can I see my friend? No. Well, I want to see my friend. Okay. Like, there's only one more step. You just take a small step past that no, and boom.
I think it's about to happen in the next coming chapters. I think Avienda is going to talk to the wise ones.
Yeah, and Avienda is clearly going to talk to Egwene.
Exactly.
And there's clearly a conversation about Elayne. This has got to happen. And the baby. Now. Yeah, and the baby. How's the baby doing? Oh, it's good. We're going to name it Rand Jr.
RJ. Yeah.
Hey. Little RJ. Yeah.
So, girl. Favorite characters?
Rangelina.
Rangelina. That's too perfect. Oh, if that happens, I'm going to quit this podcast. I'll just sign off for the last time. Favorite character. You got one, Chris? I got to think about this.
Not particularly. Like, nobody was overly impressive. I think the one person and her name, that's how unimpressive she really is. The one that didn't mind speaking out about who she thought Rand was related to.
That's what I was going to say.
And who says, with a D? The one that's like, you know, I'll represent Elayne, but...
Dylan,
yeah. I'll give it to her just because she, you know, she's still holding on to the idea that Elayne is going to come and take her rightful place, but she's also subtly alluding to the fact that she didn't mind taking power until time comes. But then she's also like, but you look awfully close to somebody I used to know who I used to know. Had a hold on the throne.
So
the fact that everybody is so closely related is like very interesting too.
Like by the time. At least they're not brother and sister. I mean, Jamie Lannister.
Could have been worse. So Dylan probably would have been my pick just to have something different. I'll say Rand only because I was a huge fan of that whole interaction between the two of them for all those reasons I discussed before. I don't like the whole Game of Thrones, Days to Mar, everybody's plotting behind everybody. Like, I mean, everybody plots behind everybody, but if you're like six or seven levels deep in your plotting where it's so confusing and nobody knows where you stand, like that's too much. Yeah. These guys were a little more direct with each other. They shared more cards than you know, in their hand than most people do in this book. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty
good. Well, and then, of course, the guy that came with her, I can't think of his name, he had the balls enough to, like, threaten Rand. Like, if he killed her, he cut it off. He left it hanging, but I was like, the man is right there. He clearly can channel it. You said that.
They got men and women of principle. They don't care about what else is going on. This is where we draw our line. I like that.
Yeah.
I give to Nynaeve for standing up for herself against Aes Sedai. You know,
actually, that's a good one too. Yep.
Yeah. I was going to say Tomanis, but I figured that you get mad at me if I said that. So Nynaeve.
Yeah, Nynaeve's a good one. I like that.
All right, and the next chapters we're doing. So next time on the Wheel of Reads, we'll be doing two chapters, and then we'll be back to three chapters after that. So next week is just two, and then we'll be going back to three chapters for a bit. So those chapter titles are The Wheel of a Life and A Taste of Solitude.
The Wheel of Life?
The Wheel of A Life.
A Life.
Oh, so maybe we're going to focus on one of these characters that have been like reincarnated a bazillion times and get an understanding of them. It could be Birgitte.
I was just thinking might be her.
Or it could be her. Who's her lover? Longtime lover. Maybe we run into him or she talks about him.
Kane.
Yeah. Kane. Remember, he's been born again into this world.
Yeah, but he's been born like literally as a baby. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not consequential at all.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting more detail about the whole Birgitte. How many times she's been in and out, and
that'd
be neat.
And then A Taste of Solitude, just a little taste.
This one,
did somebody get locked up again? Egwene?
Not that we know of.
Yeah. Maybe they lock her in the dream world as punishment.
Maybe this is a Mogadine chapter.
Interesting.
That'd be
I'd love to see something from the bad guy side of things.
Yeah.
There's nobody really. Or Loghain.
Okay. Yeah, we've been checked out with him in a while.
Loghain's chumming it up with everybody and telling all these stories. He's living his best life right now.
Yeah.
He's the center of attention in his own little world.
Or you know who could come back? Our wolf brother from book one.
Ooh.
Oh, what if it is a parent chapter and he's on the road by himself?
Yeah. Or an Elias chapter. Like, Elias has got to come back.
Eventually. I hope so.
And who else?
He'd be besides, the best teacher for Perry.
Besides him and Gnome, they're the only ones living a life of solitude that we know of right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gnome's coming back hardcore, though.
Gnome? Okay.
Or maybe that tiny oak tree that started growing after the Green Man died eventually grows into another Green Man.
Could be that, too.
Could be.
That Green Man's coming back.
Yeah.
Plant Supreme.
I am Gnome.
I am Groot. So yeah, anything else before I wrap up?
No. These are quick chapters.
They were quick.
Well, the first one was this one's a big kind of a good one.
That's good reviews.
I mean, we still haven't gotten anything like confirmed, but I think we're confirmed
at this point. Good enough.
This is as confirmed as Jordan does anything. So I feel pretty good.
Until it smacks you in the face. It's like
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So how we can be found. The Wheel Reads everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, all those great places. Go to the website, thewheelreads.com, find links to all that stuff, plus links to stuff like our Discord. You can join that, hang out, look at pictures of Chris's kittens, you know. So if that's not super a reason cute. To join, I don't know what else is.
They're really cute. That's a reason.
That's a reason. And normally after shows, I do hang out and talk a little bit on Discord for a little bit. Cause we do have voice channels there, but I am on vacation. So I'm going to go back and shoot some pool or play ping pong. So sorry guys.
And soon to come, we'll give you guys some information about my thoughts on Mistborn.
Oh yeah. 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 After Chris is done, we're going to do a video on Mistborn.
I'm super excited. Like,
yeah.
Even Chanel heard like 15 minutes of the book. She's like, stop.
Like,
I want to read this book now. I was like, damn it.
It's good.
Like, we had this long drive, and I just knew I was going to finish the book. And she's like, no, you can't.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Switch so we listened to Beyonce for 5 hours.
Put some earbuds in.
Ain't nothing wrong with Beyonce for 5 hours.
Nothing wrong with me.
Oh, not the new stuff now.
Tell everybody. Everybody. It's like house music. It's
the okay.
that you'd see at a Vogue concert. Like
okay. So you're saying no rush to listen to it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it, don't get me wrong, it was good, but there's not the typical story or purpose. It's something like you would see at like a the gay bar or something, or
sure. okay.
Paris Fashion Week is kind of what it makes me feel when I listen to the.
Yeah. Sure. Well, with an artist like her that's going to have the career that she does, I mean, she's got a bazillion albums by the time she's done making albums. Yeah. Sometimes you got to have ones that are just fun that she just felt like doing. And she, just, yeah. if she was just in that mood, then.
Now, mind you, hers is better than his, but hers and Drake's are kind of like along the same.
Yeah.
Really? Same vibe?
Vibe, yeah. Beat okay. wise.
I'll have to check okay. it out. I'll check it out.
Also, you can feel free to support us. Just buy merchandise or listen to us, our Patreon. All those links can be found on our website as well. Great ways to support us and help us do things like buy more lighting and things like that.
Striped lighting.
Striped. So yeah, I figured out what it is. There's actually like a rack above me. So the light's going through the rack. And
it's, hey, we got a new patron today too, apparently.
We did, yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
we did. You got a new patron today. They were announced at the beginning. That was,
I know
they
announced them, but maybe somebody yeah. did somebody new come? I guess not.
Not since we started, I think.
Okay. What about our old patrons?
I can check. Yeah, our old patrons are awesome too.
Like David. And who are our Bella levels? Do we have any Bella levels anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We do.
Let's give them a shout out. It's our Bella people.
We got Bella. So we got Remy. Remy's a Bella.
Remy.
David will be back as a Bella. He's taking some time off from that, but that's okay.
That's cool. Bella. Anyway,
still love you, man.
I love David. But yeah. And yeah, so that's all I got for this week, guys.
Until next time.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
Bella!
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.